spook between us.
That was Shelter from the Storm. Involved. And that one goes out to all the mothers out there on this Mother's Day weekend. We'll be able to hear more of that towards the end. So we're back here with Director of Libraries, Bruce Gay, but wanted to share a couple more news bits. First off, congratulations goes to the Waukesha South eSports team that finished their inaugural season with a perfect 8-0 record and zero matches lost. And there were some playoffs that began this week, taking on Racine Park High School. So I don't know what how that turned out, but we'll be paying attention. And then railroads, real quick. There are approximately 20 at-grade railroad crossings in the city. The railroad company is responsible for their crossings. The city works closely with them to schedule needed repairs or replacement, but the schedule is determined by the railroad. So beginning in early July, the Canadian National Railroad is expected to be in town to repair or replace the following crossings: East Avenue, College Avenue, Sunset Drive, Progress Avenue. So as the city knows the exact schedule from the railroad, that will be publicized, but pay attention. And, you know, again, another reason to spend some time in the libraries if there's disruptions from more construction and more rehab. So, Bruce, welcome back. Bruce Gay, Director of Libraries. We were talking about, so Bruce went to some different colleges and very well degree. You know, I mentioned his degrees from DePauw, BA in English, Washington University of St. Louis, and UWM got his MLIS in public librarianship, which I love that. Yep. Why did you want to be a librarian? What inspired you?
Well, I was teaching seventh grade English, and we would go every year, take our kids, four sections, about 100 kids. We'd take them down to Milwaukee's Central Library.
Okay.
And we, at that time, we were doing this, reading A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens.
Nice.
And we had a project that we did every year, which is do research on Victorian England and then do a presentation of some sort. So they could make a newspaper in that style. They
sure.
could, you know, do all sorts of things that would. And so what was great is we would go downtown Milwaukee and they would be able to give these kids the original magazines from that
wow.
time. And so. You know, the downtown library in Milwaukee, people don't know, but there are actually four floors below ground in that building. So it's stuffed with materials. And they have, you know, so Vanity Fair magazine from the 1860s, 1870s, Harper's, and kids could call those up and then look at them and do their direct research. So that was cool in itself. And then what I found, like the third year I was doing it, I looked at the librarians who were doing the helping out the kids, and I thought, that looks like kind of a fun thing to do. And so I actually called up the director of the Milwaukee Library at that time and said, hey, can I come in and talk to you about being a librarian? And she said, sure. I came in and talked to her for a while and then I thought, yeah, this is something I'm going to do. And so I signed up for library school, managed to work in Milwaukee for a number of years, and then came out here in 2017.
Wow, that's terrific. So that's been great. And, you know, that's, you know, not many people got these days get to spend their entire lives in like one kind of career role.
Right. Right.
And so you've been, I guess you've been blessed that way.
Yeah. It's interesting. I know, you always hear about people job changing and shifting around. I feel almost like libraries are immune to that a little bit. A lot of people get in there and they love it and they stay and,
right.
You know, it's a good career.
Terrific. Oh yeah. And certainly it's, you talk about the benefits, you know, beyond your compensation benefits.
Yeah.
That you, again, you've got this whole university surrounding you,
right?
Both physically and virtually,
right? Right.
And again, from my own experience as an alderman, I found Bruce to be a valuable resource. You know, in our first meeting, I'd mentioned I'm a big advocate for new urbanism, and Bruce was able to refer to a case study in Chicago.
Yeah, sure.
And during that, yeah, go ahead.
It's, yeah,
during the heat wave in '85.
During the heat wave. Yeah. And this came out in a book by a big library advocate, Eric Kleinenberg, called Palaces for the People. It's all about libraries. And his research showed during the heat wave in Chicago, and this was, what, 95-ish? Is that right?
I was living there then.
So yeah. So he looked at demographically similar neighborhoods. And that heat wave was terrible, and people were dying. Older people were dying without air conditioning. And
yeah.
He looked at two neighborhoods that were very similar demographically. So same kinds of people living there, same economic level. And in one neighborhood, he found, you know, a fairly high death rate, and in the other one, really low. And so the question, of course, is why? Right. What's going on here? Mm. So he came up with this concept that he calls social infrastructure. And by social infrastructure, he means things like barbershops and bowling alleys, places where people get together. Right. And know each other. And the prime example of that is a library. So places with big libraries, we have social infrastructure. So what happens is people come in and they see each other and you see everybody and you start to know people a little bit more. And so that's really,
after people,
you look after people. And it's kind of a, you know, I talk all the time about how libraries have changed, how they're used.
Sure.
So, you know, 20 plus years ago, if you had a problem with your plumbing, you would come to the library and you get a book on how to fix your plumbing.
Neat.
And now you don't do that.
Right.
Because you go on YouTube and you type in your faucet model and you find out exactly what to do.
Sure.
And so, you know, that need has kind of gone away for people. Mm-hmm. But what that trip to the library back then did also was it put you in the community.
Yes.
And so, you know, what libraries try to do now is find ways to get people to come back out so that they can still be in the community. That's what the deal is with our demonstration kitchen and our makerspace. It's to bring people together again, which is a need that people have that you don't always think about.
Sure. And then, as I mentioned, referring back to that Michael Collins quote, is that people can also, if they get more involved, they can also influence libraries in terms of filling a category that could have more content or more.
Right, absolutely.
So, and it's something that we encourage everyone to do, because you also like are there like, is there kind of like a library like members program or people? Because I know there's an email list.
Sure. Yeah. We have Friends of the Library that are always looking for members. Friends just had an event.
Are they also volunteers?
They're volunteers. We do take volunteers. We need volunteers for our summer reading program.
Great.
It's a fun volunteer gig because you get to work with kids who are coming in and telling you the books that they've read, and then they get to spin the wheel and get a little prize.
Oh, cool.
So it's that kind of thing.
Yeah. And do you also, are you hiring for the summer at all for any students out there, any young people that are looking for summer work, or are you pretty set?
We're pretty set now. Yeah.
Good to know. So, but again, there is great opportunity in the volunteering and the participating, or even just going over there and picking out a book.
Yep.
So terrific. Or several books.
Yeah. Come on in.
So terrific. Yeah. Now, I was out walking the dog last night and we ran into our neighbor that has a dog, and we mentioned you're going to be on. She was excited because she was, she says she goes like every week.
Yeah.
And then she'll walk away with like 15 or 16 books. You let people take out that many books? I didn't know.
Oh yeah. 125.
Wow. Oh, that's the limit. That's the max.
That's the max. But if you give us a good story why you need 126, we'll probably let you do it. Yeah, we're lucky. Waukesha is it's still a community that likes to read. We actually have been the fourth highest circulating library in the state of Wisconsin, just behind Madison, Milwaukee, and Green Bay, all of which have a bigger population, obviously, and a lot more locations.
Yeah.
So we're the highest after those three.
Neat. That's a great stat. I love that. Do you hear that, Jason? We're right behind you there in Madison.
Well,
we're probably ahead of you when you look at proportions, right?
Madison does really well.
Yeah. No, that's great to hear. So, Bruce, do you have any questions for us or anything you'd like to share as we wind down, like towards the end of the pro, something that people must know about?
Well, I just want to give a plug. The Waukesha Public Library has always been a public-private partnership from 1896 when it was founded by the Beacon Lights Club. And we are still asking for private support for the library. As part of this capital, or this renovation, we still have some things that we need and we need to raise money for. And so it's really easy for people, if they want to give money to the library, you can text the word give to 262-393-3883. And that'll send back information on how you can support the library. And we are looking for all your support, and every dollar counts. And we know Waukesha has been a great supporter of the library for over 100 years now.
Sounds great. And will there be, if it hasn't happened already, like a grand reopening?
We did that on April 9th.
That's right.
We had about...
That's right. I talked about that on my show.
500 people or more come in. Wow. We don't know how many exactly.
Okay. So... But there we could figure out other reasons to throw a party, especially as libraries are getting more support.
Yep, that's right.
So terrific. So now, on a beautiful day like today, what do you do to compel people to come to, you know, spend part of the day at the library or make it part of your plans?
Well, you know, we have different kinds of users, right? So a lot of people on a day like this will come in, pop in, pick up their holds, and go back out. Nice. That's a big thing.
Sure.
But we still have people that like to come in and use the computers and just sit and read the newspapers and magazines. You know, it's a great thing for that. Although, honestly, on the first nice days, it is pretty quiet in the building often.
Sure, sure.
And that's, I'm not going to go back in.
Yeah, I hear you. That's terrific. So any plans yourself on this beautiful weekend?
Oh, we're trying to find out what to do for my wife and Mother's Day. Our kids are both out of the house, and okay. So we're kind of thinking and trying to figure out where we want to go and what we want to do.
That sounds great. Well, I hope that you have a wonderful Mother's Day weekend. You deserve it with all the hard work you and your staff have been doing.
Thank you, and I hope you have a good Mother's libraries. Day, too.
Thanks so much. Yeah, yes.
Thanks.
So how are we doing on time, guys? We got 1 minute, so that's terrific. So, yes. So, real quick, your hours.
Sure. 9 to 8:30 Monday through Thursday. 9 to 6 Friday. 9 to 5 Saturday. And Sundays through the end of May, 1 to 5. Then we are closed Sundays in the summer. We'll open up at Labor Day.
Closed Sundays in the summer, but open back up. So 6 days a week, the library is open during the summer.
Absolutely.
But it's 7 days until, through the month of May.
You can come in tomorrow for Mother's Day at 1 o'clock. We'll be open.
What a great way to spend Mother's Day. Yep. So that sounds terrific. So, hey, thanks, everybody, for joining us on this beautiful